Welcome to the ministry of Harvest Life Church. We pray that this message would help harvest the life God has for you.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." I always think of a bag of leaves. I'm from back east, and y'all think you got leaves in Idaho. You should see what New England looks like in the fall. I mean, we're talking leaves, right? And so I always think of those bags, and you would take those leaf bags and you would fill them up. And my mom would always say, "You can get a lot more in that, Dave." I'm like, "It's full." "Nope, you got to press it down. Come on. You got to shake it together, right?" And how many know you can fill that thing to overflowing? "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For with the measure you use," right, "shall be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So we've started this great series on a good measure. What is a good measure? And there's a little confession that I want you to learn, that I want you to speak, that I want you to say, and it just goes like this. I get what I give, so I'm going to give a good measure. Amen. Let's try that together. I get what I give, so I'm going to give a good measure. And I like to say it like this. I always get what I give, so I'm going to give a good measure. I wonder if you believe that today. Because Jesus said that it's with the measure that you use that life will measure back to you. It's the measure you use that life will measure back to you. Now, here's the problem. My measure is not the only thing that's trying to measure something into my life. What I'm giving is not the only thing that's happening in my life. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that we have an enemy. The Bible calls him the thief, and it says that he comes in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What's the devil doing today? He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Pastor Sherrod was talking about that this morning. Sometimes we're willing accomplices. Sometimes we're unknowing willing accomplices. We become a part of the noise that's trying to destroy, right? We become a part of the destruction that the enemy's trying to bring. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we recognize that life can measure some pretty discouraging circumstances. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us that there's going to be good times and bad times, that there's going to be trials and there's going to be tribulation and there's going to be great celebrations, but at the same time, there's going to be great sorrow. And that's just a part of the human life. But the thing is, are you going to be destroyed by the bad times or are you going to be sustained by the good that God is bringing to you? Are you going to be destroyed or sustained? Are you going to survive so that you can thrive? Or are you just going to become a victim of what you've been through? And I shared with you that when God first taught me this principle, he taught it to me backwards in this verse. And I think he did that because I'm like you, and some of you are looking at me like that. You're like, every time the pastor, you know, preaches from this sermon, it's time for an offering. So some of you are like getting really tight-cheeked. You're like sitting on your wallet, and you're like, I'm just going to wait and see what happens here because I don't want to be taken advantage of. Because you think of the scripture as only having to do with your money, with your finances. And it does apply to that. But God taught me this at a very particular season in my life. And he taught me with that last verse, for the measure you use will be measured to you. And in the midst of trying situations, in the midst of situations where I felt like giving up, anybody ever been there? In the midst of situations where nobody would have blamed me for quitting, come on, somebody, well, not nobody, but you know, I wouldn't have blamed myself, come on. Amen. And in the middle of those situations, God taught me this principle. And he said, David, you cannot afford to let your life be determined by what's measured to you. You've got to make on-purpose measurements to counteract this negativity. You have got to do it because it's what you ultimately measure that will be measured back to you. This verse does not say, hey, happy days are here again. You're never going to have a problem, right? This verse does not say, hey, listen, if you'll just do this, you'll live that overcoming life. It doesn't say that nothing bad will happen to you, but it does say that what you determine to do about what happens will ultimately be measured to you. It will come back to you so that you can grow. Come on, somebody. So that you can get stronger, so that you can overcome. And basically, you can recover from everything negative that is measured to you if you put your faith in the measurement you're giving in response. Amen? So I always get what I'm going to give as a good measure. Amen? Amen. A good measure is given, listen to it now, for the right reasons, with the right motive, from a heart of expectation and faith. Last week, we talked about the reality that you and I are predetermined to give as we get, right? We're predetermined to give as we get, and it looks a little bit something like this. Did you know farmers, when they're planting seed, they look, what they do with the best seed, the seed that produces the best peaches, the seeds from the best peach trees, they don't go to the farmer and they don't go to market. The best fruit gets replanted again because the farmer knows that the seed is in itself. And if you plant superior seed, then you will get a superior harvest. This is how, but when you're bent, right? And the Bible says that a man's life is determined by what he sows. So when you're bent and you're naturally born to give what you get, right? When you get a harvest that you don't like, right? You either plant it back, right? Or you don't recognize, hey, if I want something better, I got to plant better. I got to plant better because the superior seeds give superior harvest. So it's the attitude I'm planting with. It's the heart I'm planting with. Listen, to just say, God, okay, you want me to do this? I guess I'll do it. Now, that's a good starting spot. Praise the Lord. Amen. But that's not the best measure. Amen. Because a good measure is given for the right reasons, with the right motive, and a heart of expectation and faith. Now, we need to understand this, folks, that my good measure is a seed, it's a weapon, and it's a living example of my faith in God. My measure is a seed. It is a weapon. And it is a living example of my faith in God. So when I'm getting a life that I don't want, I don't have to be discouraged because I have seed. Come on, somebody. I have seed. I am not without seed. You say, Pastor, I don't have any money. Come on. Can you choose a good attitude? Come on, can you choose praise? Can you choose? I know you only got one peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Can you give a quarter of it to somebody who's hungrier than you? As long as you've got seed, you've got a future. Your measure is seed. So when you slap the food down on the table that you lovingly prepared for your family and you got an attitude about it, just remember, you may not want that measure coming back to you. Good preaching, Pastor Dave. But see, if you don't get this, you will never rise above the chaos of life to become a life giver so that God can send you into the darkest of places to be the brightest of light. Amen? See, God wants us to be a bright light, that He can put us where He wants us to go, knowing that we're going to keep planting good seed. When we learn better, we're going to plant better. When we grow, we're going to give better. We're going to do it better. We're going to do it with a better attitude. And we're going to put our faith on what we do, that we did with the right heart, with the right intentions, because we know even though the world is in chaos, that's going to be measured back to me. Not the chaos. I don't want to plant chaos if I got chaos. Come on. No, we want that seed to die. Amen. We want that seed to die. And you can't get discouraged. You can't get discouraged. Sometimes you plant the seed and you're like, well, why is all this chaos? Listen, good seed does not take out chaos. It just means that you have a harvest of good stuff in the future that will be so enjoyable that you'll be able to go, these light afflictions. Come on, somebody. These light afflictions. I'm living the good life. I'm focused on the good things. And sometimes people, you know, good seeds are kind of like your pastor. I was a late bloomer. I'm just telling you, I was a late bloomer. I went out in our field this last week, and most of you know we own the 23 acres all around, all these crops around us right here. All that land belongs to the church. We're thankful for our farmer who comes in and rents our property and takes care of the land, because we'd have to figure out what to do with all that right now. And so he's farming. You know, last year he planted corn, but if you look, I don't know what he's got out there this last year. Some of you farmers may know, but if you go along that back field, if you come around the back and you look out in that field, there's some late bloomers out there. There's some corn that came up this year. It got planted last year. Come on, but it came up this year because that seed just said, it's not about how long it takes. I'm going to give my measure, and my measure's coming back to me. And there's stalks of corn out there. He didn't plant corn. That was last season. You see, you got a God who is the Lord of the harvest, and He says unto you, keep planting the right kind of seed with the right kind of attitude in the right kind of spirit. In due time, your crop is going to come in, and you're going to have seed to live off of, because surely how you measure it will be measured back to you. Amen? A good seed is, my seed is a weapon, right? My measure is a weapon. It's a weapon. I love that song today. This is how we fight our battle. It's a weapon. When you do good to those who do bad against you, you literally close down the demonic spirit that motivated them to be a vessel, sometimes without even knowing it, sometimes with full knowledge. Come on, somebody. You just close it down, and the first place it doesn't gain entrance is into your heart, which means it's going to be sticking around for a short time. As long as it didn't get you, it doesn't matter if it got everybody else. If it was a weapon formed against you, it will not prosper in your life if you release the right measure in response to it. You can't give like you got. It becomes a weapon in your hand. Come on, somebody. Everybody say, it's a weapon. See, I'm trying to get you to see the principle so that you can move from inspiration to revelation. So when you begin to, is that how it works? And then you get in your life and you start practicing it until it becomes a law that you live by. Amen. Three things about your measure. Your focus determines your measure. Matthew chapter 14. And in verse 22, I'm going to read the story to you, and I'm going to make some points. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, and while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there, and the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Peter said to him, Jesus said to him, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then Peter said, He said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. Now, that's pretty amazing, right? That's one of our favorite Bible stories. We love to tell the story about how Peter walked on the water. And as a young boy with our pool in our backyard, I remember my friend Larry Firkin. We'd learn in Sunday school. We studied this story. And we're like, you know, if you have enough faith, you can walk on the water. So I'm going to walk on the water. And you know what? Every time I tried it, I sunk. And we're like, this story is so great. But this story is not a great story because Peter walked on the water, but it is literally a metaphor for every single one of our lives. Pastor, did he really walk on the water? He really walked on the water. And there's been a couple other people in life who have that testimony of walking on the water. But how many know it's a small list? It's a small list, right? So he walked on the water. Watch this. Jesus said, come. And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind that it was boisterous, and he was afraid. Now, the wind was blowing before he got in the water. There was a storm before he started walking on the water, which means that he was looking at Jesus when he was safe in the boat. But when he got out of the boat and got a little bit away from it, and there is no option now, you got to keep going. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eyes, he recognizes this wind is a little worse than it seemed in the boat. These waves are a little bigger than they seemed. And he took his eyes off of Jesus. And the Bible says that one of the greatest miracle, and beginning to sink, he cried out, beginning to sink. Right? So this is two miracles. He's walking on the water, and then he didn't do like I did in my backyard. I didn't begin to sink. I just sunk. But Peter's beginning to sink as he loses focus with Jesus, right? He's beginning to sink, and he's recognizing if I keep sinking, I'm going to be in trouble. So he calls out to Jesus. And Jesus says the most astounding thing to him. He comes to him. Immediately they walk back to the boat. They get in the boat, and he says, oh, you of little faith. I didn't walk one step on the water. This is great faith. Come on, somebody. Like I said, I mean, there's not a lot of people who have done it. The list is small, but this is pretty good faith. I've never done that. Paul never did that. But if you look in the original text, what he really says is, oh, you of little short bursts of faith. Isn't that what happens when Jesus is in your focus? When you're knowing exactly what he wants you to do about a circumstance, all of a sudden you're walking on top of what's trying to put you down. When you've got your focus on the right thing, right? When you got your focus on the right thing, you're not sinking. Oh, you're getting wet. Come on, there's some wind, there's some waves, but you get to a, come on, how many in this room say, you know what, Pastor, I have walked on some stuff that could have killed me. Come on, let me see your hands. I've walked through some stuff that could have killed me, but I'm here today. I'm alive today. I'm serving the Lord today. Because even though we too are people of short bursts of faith, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can walk where the devil's trying to make you stumble, where he's trying to make you fall, right? And so we recognize that we have to keep our focus on God when we're trying to give a good measure. We got to keep our focus on God, right? Come on, we all know how it is, right? We all know how it is. It's so funny. Right? We know so much about today. Christians in days gone by just had to love their neighbor, love their family, deal with the people they worked with, and sometimes some bad people in traffic. Come on, somebody. Right? Or some bad people in the neighborhood. Now we know everything going on everywhere, and everybody's got an opinion, and everyone's speaking about it, and everyone's talking about it. Right? And our faith is smaller and smaller and smaller as our knowledge grows and grows and grows. And it shouldn't be. I'm not saying we should stick our head in the sand, but I am saying, listen, if you're gonna release the measure that's going to give you the harvest that you desire and that God wants you to have, you better keep your eyes on Jesus. You better keep your focus on him. Habakkuk talks about it. right? Habakkuk 3, look at this. Though the fig tree may not blossom. Anybody ever been there? We planted that fig tree and it's not giving any fruit, right? Nor fruit beyond the vines. Though the labor of the olive tree may fail and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, give up, complain, whine, bellyache. Is that what it says? Yet, listen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, because my now is not my final space. What I have reaped from the world, I may not have planted. There's been some things that's being measured to me, and some of it might not even be my fault. But guess what? I'm not going to let the lack cause me to lose focus on my God. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. There's better things coming. There's better horizons ahead of us. There's a better day down the road. I cannot lose sight in the middle of this negative measure and start giving back negative. I'm going to start by worshiping God. So I don't lose my focus. And I'm telling you what, when you lose a loved one, when something happens that you didn't expect, you just got to stay in praise. You've got to be careful. You better talk to people who are spiritual, not people who aren't going to help you. You talk to spiritual people and you praise your way. Come on. This is how I fight my battles. Yeah. This is how I fight my battles. Sing it. This is how I fight my battles. I will rejoice. Amen. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded with you. I want the praise team to come on up here. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. Amen? Your focus determines your measure. I love this translation. Though the cherry trees don't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and wheat fields are stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns are cattle-less, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy for my Savior God, counting on God's rule to eventually prevail. I take heart, and therefore I gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm a king on the mountain. Come on, somebody. That's the kind of praise you need. Crazy praise? Crazy praise. I heard a great testimony someone shared. They were just like someone recommended they come to Harvest Life Church. They were asking them for church, and they said, Harvest Life. But, you know, and they said to them, well, you know, but it's one of those spirit-filled churches. And they thought, oh, you know, spirit-filled churches. And they thought, oh, they came the last week or two, and they told somebody, they had a friend who told them that it was one of those spirit-filled churches. And they were like, we like it. This is our kind of thing. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we're not afraid. The same Bible says, be still and know that I'm God, says you got to know how to fight your battles. The Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Come on, y'all need to stand. We're not done with church yet. Come on, it may look like,
but I'm surrounded by you.
Come on, amen. No one leaving.
It may look
we ain't
like
done with church.
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
You gotta fight, church.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
Sing it. This is how. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
Sing it, church.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
So you see, you gotta know that you're holding on to Jesus when that bad crop of measuring comes in from the bad news about your health, the bad news about your marriage, the bad news about your child, the bad news. You can't let go of God. You gotta say, I'm gonna go with this with my eyes on Jesus. So I know when he says step left, step right, so I don't release the wrong thing out of my mouth or out of my life so that I can plant seed of life. Seed of life, because I get what I give. Oh yeah, I get what I give. I get what I give, so I want to make sure I give a good measure. Hey, man, can you listen to the rest of the sermon standing? If you can't, you can sit, but I think it'd be fun to do it a little bit different. Number two, how many ready for number two? Number two, listen to it. Your purpose determines your measure. Your purpose determines your measure. Your focus determines your measure. Number two, your purpose determines your measure. You see, my ultimate purpose is to glorify God. That's my ultimate purpose. I want to know, do you know your purpose? Do you know your pastor? I don't know. Well, let me introduce you to the beginning of your purpose. It's the beginning of your purpose. Underneath this beginning is how you're going to carry that out. Right? But honestly, It's really the same purpose carried out in multiple ways according to the gifts that God gave you. But when I was all alone, suffering from the measures that had been measured to me, and therefore choosing to measure the wrong thing back towards my life and towards life in general, when I was away from God all alone, he spoke to me in such a supernatural way as a young man, and he said, you're going to go home. You're going to go to that church and you are going to serve me. And that part, you are going to serve me, has really been a deal maker for the rest of my life. Because whenever I forget where I'm at, whenever I reach a door that I can't seem to get through, whenever I want to jump ship, I remember, you know what? I serve the Lord. That's my purpose. So my question becomes, God, how can I serve you now? Now that this has happened, now that we're here, how do I serve you here? How do I serve you now? Your purpose determines your measure. Because I'm serving the Lord, I got to be careful what my measure is. Brother Summerall used to teach this incredible sermon. He said, and I did not quit. 85 years old, I think it was, when I heard him preach it. And he took us through all the ins and outs and up and down. And he'd always come to this point in his sermon. He'd say, that'd have been a good time to quit. And we're all like, yeah. And he said, but I did not quit. And then he'd come to the other side of the platform. And he'd talk about this deep, dark thing. And he said, oh, that'd have been a good time to quit. But I did not quit. Amen. You need that DNA. Come on, family of God. You can't quit. You can't quit. And if you've quit, God will come and he'll touch you so you can get up again, so you can run with legs you've never had before, so you don't quit again. Don't quit. Paul called it the joy of the life of no options. I know that doesn't sound good to you, but do you know that the most discouraged people on the planet are those with too many options? And they find themselves chasing happiness. What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? How many get confused when you walk into Baskin-Robbins, 33 flavors? You understand what I'm saying? And you take so many samples, and by the time you're done, you're like, I don't even want any ice cream now. I'm sick. I ate so many samples. I tried so many different things. But I'll tell you what, when you're in the mood for an ice cream and you walk in and they say, hey, we got some homemade peaches and cream. I'm going to tell you, everyone's going to love it, even if vanilla ain't your favorite. You got some homemade. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be good. Come on, somebody. And Paul said, listen to Paul's joy. Paul said, but what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for this excellency of Christ. It takes maturity to say, you know what? I don't need a lot of options. God, what do you want me to do? All of a sudden, all confusion is gone. Because I just need to hear your voice. I just need to not give up. I just need to know, you. Who told me to be here? Oh, you told, that's right, you told me to be here. Okay, I'm not quitting my job. Okay, I'm not quitting my marriage. Oh, okay, I'm not quitting being a dad. Okay, oh, okay. The devil would love to keep you in confusion. Oh, what about that? Well, now that this has happened, maybe you ought to entertain this. But when you know your purpose, come on, somebody. When you know your purpose, am I talking to anybody here? You hold fast, because Hebrews says, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. And we don't want to be like a dog going back to his vomit. Come on, somebody. We don't want to be a pig that gets cleaned up and goes back to the trough, right? My purpose determines my measure. So I'm going to give a good measure. Come on, somebody. I'm going to give a God measure. I'm going to give a measure based on the kingdom of God. I'm able to turn my cheek because I want to break the strongholds that are trying to take me down. I love in the presence of hate because love is a weapon against it. Amen? That doesn't mean there's not times I take myself away from silly people. Good preaching, Pastor Dave. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if I have a purpose that determines my measure, then that means I need to surrender to my purpose. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Online, in this room, I know there are people, and you tuned in today because you're hungry. But if truth be told, you haven't been planting your measure. As a matter of fact, a lot of other measures has been given to you, and it's not, frankly, been the kingdom of God that's been measured to you. And it's gotten you off track. It's gotten you off focus. You're responding. You're reacting instead of responding. You're reacting instead of responding. But right now, God's calling you back to steadiness. He's calling you back to your center. Your center of surrender to God's purpose. To God's purpose. Jesus, it's all about you. God, what you want. There's something in your heart right now that just says, God, I want you to forgive me for losing my focus. Thank you for picking me up while I was sinking. Thank you, Lord, for restoring my purpose today. I want to follow after you. If you want to surrender to the Lord today in a new way, would you just raise your hand all over this room? God, today is about my measure. It's about my surrender. It's about my surrender. Thank you. Hands are going up all over the place. I know online that the Holy Spirit is ministering right now through this production right now, coming into your heart. I want you just to close your eyes where you're at right now. And the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart, and he's just saying, it's all about you surrendering. So just do it right now. Say, I yield. Come on, lift up your hands, hold up the white flag. Just say, I'm going to stop fighting you, God. I'm just going to focus on my measure, doing the right thing in spite of what all this other stuff that's going on. I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to keep planting good seed. I'm going to keep watering that seed. I'm going to pull the weeds out of my life. I'm going to keep moving forward with my God. And I know that I will walk on top of that mountain. I know that I will overcome. My trust is in the Lord, my God. I surrender.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message has blessed your life. For more sermons by Pastor David Whaley, visit us at www.harvestlifechurch.org.